Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. A child is like a white paper on which you can write good things or bad things. Entire personality of a child is developed by the parents, by the upbringing they do. And in this program, we try to provide all the necessary information that is required to bring up your child in the best possible way. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today near our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University and researcher in the Hausa Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor Nakavi, we have been discussing that how parents have to show off their emotions, how they have to show off their love through the emotions or the actions, because communication cannot be only through speaking. Speaking can be in many forms, in your words, in your body language, and that needs to be involving emotions and actions. I would want you to give us more examples, like how parents can show off this love to their children.
One of the issues that has to be taken into account is that basically the first faculty which is developed in a child is the listening skill.
Okay.
So a child, even in the womb of the mother, is capable of listening to things.
Yeah.
And the first stage in picking up any language by a child is also through listening.
Yeah.
Then goes on to speaking. Then he can start reading, and then he can start writing maybe at a later stage.
Yeah.
So in child development, listening is very important. And through that listening, his emotions and feelings are also invoked.
Okay.
The words that he listens to, the sounds that she listens to, they evoke many feelings.
Okay.
So that is important, what types of words and what types of sounds are coming to the child.
I was even reading a couple of days ago a study, a new research, wherein it was saying that even the child in womb reacts to what mother eats. Like if a mother eats carrots, a child smiles. Or if a mother eats, say for example, the brinjals, the child makes faces or something. So when a child in the womb can even react to these things, what mother eats, it shows us that a child has been listening and he has been definitely reacting to whatever he's listening, basically.
Yes, so when it comes to communication and talking, the first thing is listening.
Yeah.
He or she listens to words. Therefore, it's very much recommended that a mother recites the Holy Quran during pregnancy. That has a very beautiful effect on the child. So one of the things, as I mentioned, listening and feelings involved as a result. So we need to develop positive feelings, inculcate positive emotions in the child. So things which he or she listens to are very important. The words, even music, even singing, even whatever we are talking about, whatever sounds and voices, he or she picks them up. He or she is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the child. He or she can understand in one what tone the words are being spoken.
Exactly.
He or she can very much understand if the parent or the mother is angry or is worried or is in a state of stress.
Okay.
So because it's of that listening capacity that has developed to a very high degree.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be very careful.
All right.
In what we say, in what we how what we say, the choice of words. Let me give you something very important, which is very important in the sense that tomorrow when this child is going to develop into a grown-up, he needs to be able to communicate properly. True. Use yeah. the use of any language, in any language he or she communicates, he or she should be using the proper words, the proper sentences, grammatically correct, eloquent sentences.
Yeah.
And where does that start? From the warm, from the listening that the child is...
Charity begins at home.
...is exposed to yeah. at home.
Yeah.
So if a mother or parents don't know to speak how to speak properly, even their own tongue,
yeah.
how do we expect the child to pick it up?
Yeah. I'll discuss more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Nakavi. We are discussing how parents can educate their child through their emotions, through their actions. Well, Professor Nakavi, there are some parents who... at the age of very, say, 3 or 4, force basically their children, even Muslim parents, to actually pick up, to basically actually memorize Quran. Do you think that's okay?
In my humble opinion, no, that's not a good strategy at all. Basically, what has been very much impressed upon, emphasized, in the various ahadith which we have, it is something common that we say that the Holy Prophet of Islam has very explicitly said that in the first 7 years of the child's life, there shouldn't be any formal education.
All right.
That's my understanding. When it's said that the child is a king in the first 7 years, he's a servant in the second 7 years, and the third, he becomes an advisor, a vizier. My understanding is for the first 7 years, there has to be no direct education.
No direct formal education.
Formal education okay. is out of bounds. Yes, there has to be learning, but it should be completely informal.
Okay.
Putting the child into a classroom environment and making him learn.
Putting pressure on him, basically.
Pressure to do it, it's completely incorrect.
Yeah, I was just.
It should be done. Yes, if you want him or her to pick up the Quran, provide him an environment
mm-hmm.
where he or she is listening to the Quran, and
because
he or she will
start. Basically, first
he will listen and remember. How do you? I mean, you see that many of our children, they pick up songs. They pick up a lot of
any other music.
When they hear songs, music...
the pop, the classic.
Whatever type of music, this listening is so effective that they pick up, memorize those things
yeah.
in a natural way. It should be done in a very natural way. If I want my child to pick up the Quran with a pro... I mean, when we teach children ourselves or even employ some teachers to teach them, they can't, many of the teachers even don't have the proper accent to teach them Arabic.
Exactly.
But if you, for example, a child is exposed to continuous, any sort of sound.
Audio listening,
videos.
He may
games,
learn very soon.
He himself will pick up the rhymes, yeah. The nursery rhymes. How does a child pick up the nursery rhymes?
True. We'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Naqavi. We're discussing how parents can educate their children through their emotions and actions, which are extremely important as a communication, as a part of communication, as we say, speaking. The speaking is an important skill in the same way. Showing that love through your emotions and actions is actually equally important. Well, Professor Naqavi, you were saying that a child should not be forced. Let me tell our audiences that I was just talking to a psychologist yesterday who said that we had a case. And there was a guy who was elder, who was like in his 20s, and his parents came and they were upset with him because they said that he would go out at night, take out a car, and only move around the roads. He won't listen to music, he won't be picking up anyone, he won't be going anywhere, but he would just be roaming around on the roads. And then when they verify the case, what has actually happened, the psychologists come to the point, go back to his childhood, and then they realize that the child was forced to memorize Quran at the age of 4. And since that, he was given a very formal and tough education at a very, very early age. He missed a lot of things, and now this missing thing he was finding in the roads, and which even he could not find in the later age. So you also recommend our parents that not to do that.
Exactly. The problem, you know, what is the problem out there? The problem out there is that our parents are very much concerned that they, especially our expats who are living in the West.
Don't you think many of them want to do it for the show off?
Show off is that is what I'm coming to. That's what I'm saying. They are very much concerned with their identity as being Muslims.
Okay.
And they think that being a Muslim, a good Muslim, is being able to recite the Quran properly. Yes, it is a part of it, but it's not all of it. That's a compartmentalization of religion into very some specific things, as I've been saying from the beginning.
Okay.
Islam is not just reciting the Quran and offering prayers properly. That's one part of our
that's
being
important,
good human.
But that's a part of
but
it.
But that has become the identity of, that is what the identity which we want to identify ourselves and our children. We say, oh, let our child finish off the Quran at that age, and we start, we have a bismillah at the beginning, and we at the end we have a program.
And the society will be praising us.
And if the society doesn't, if he does so, if he's able to recite the Quran off by heart, everyone will be praising, and look how good a Muslim parent I am.
True.
That is the problem.
So basically you're doing that for yourself. You have to be very much concerned that whatever you're teaching to your child, that should be for the child himself, not for your own praises and other things that, or not for any kind of show off. Thank you so much, Professor Naqavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio or our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah. God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life. a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned.